pig butchering isn't just about delicious bacon and ham. It uses romance and crypto to get you to fall for a scam.
Hello, beautiful humans. I'm Tiny Castle.
And I'm Benjamin Mead.
And you're listening to Just a Minute. Just a Minute is an educational podcast where we break down justice topics in 30 minutes or less. Today's topic, pig butchering and cyber slavery. Hello, and thanks for joining us. Hello, Ben.
Hi, pal.
Hey, pal.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in today.
Yeah, thank you.
We have a misleading title, I do say.
Yeah, we do.
I must say.
We do have a misleading title. Because I mentioned this to Diane as we were coming over, and she was like, do you know anything about hog butchering?
So anyway, stay tuned to learn more.
Stay tuned.
But first,
before we get started today, I want to give a virtual hug and message of immense gratitude to our donors on JMU's Giving Day, which was last month. Thank you to Dr. Jean-Luc DeFazio.
Thanks.
Tracy and Jim Zimmerman.
Thanks.
Our number one Stan, who doesn't have time to listen to the podcast, Diane Falk.
Thanks.
And one generous anonymous donor.
Oh, thanks.
Very generous. Thank you guys very much.
That is so cool. We've got some money now. So. Where are we going on vacation? I mean, to promote our podcast.
Yeah. Last but not least, I want to give a huge shout out to the Redekop Family Foundation.
Yes.
Dr. Cal Redekop, Fred, and Ben Redekop have donated generously to the Gandhi Center, not necessarily in support of the podcast, but they support all of our programming, and we would just not be doing this if it wasn't for their generous donations. So thank you so much. Okay, are we ready to talk about this?
Yeah, let's do it.
Ben, what do you know about pig butchering?
I mean, like, not lying, I literally had breakfast for supper last night. So I totally fried some bacon, extra crispy and delicious.
Yes. Bacon. We're not talking about
that. That's not what we're talking about, is it?
We're not talking about that one, though.
So what are we talking about?
We're actually not talking about pigs.
Right.
So pig butchering scams are named after the farming practice of fattening pigs up before slaughtering them.
Yes, we are the ones who are getting fattened up like lambs to the slaughter.
Yes. So pig butchering scams typically start with a scammer adopting a fake identity to gain their victim's affection and trust, and then using the illusion of a romantic or intimate relationship to manipulate or steal from the victim.
Slimy.
Young and tech-savvy victims are often lured into running these illegal operations, which range from money laundering and crypto fraud to love and romance scams.
Well, I mean, based on what you've told me so far, it just sounds like the, you know, typical scam that's been around since the beginning of the internet. So how are these different from, like, those previous email, internet, Nigerian prince, diamond scams?
Notorious Nigerian prince scams. First, have you ever been had by one of these scams?
I've never fell victim to them. And I actually have gotten some of these messages.
Yes.
Which, you know, we can talk more about when we get into it. But I did almost once fall for a PayPal phishing scam. This wasn't It wasn't a pig butchering scam.
Yeah.
But I got one of those emails that says, like, oh, your PayPal account has been locked out. Log in and to rescue it. And literally, I clicked on it. I was filling out the form, and I was literally typing in my social security number.
Oh my
gosh.
I
was like, wait, this doesn't seem right. Like, PayPal would not ask me to put my social security number in here.
No.
And then I went back and looked, and the email address was all funky. I was like, oh my gosh, I almost fell victim to this. What about you?
Yeah, well, I notoriously started like a standard operating procedure for how to deal with these, thanks to me being had by one. So, yes, these are different. So the common scam that I fell victim to targets us at the university. You get an email from a colleague or superior asking you for your phone number because they need something. And I got one of these from Glenn on a weekend.
Yeah, who's retired, who we love to death. But
And it was short, you know, and sweet and to the point, which is is the way Glenn would talk in email.
Yeah.
So I didn't even think about it. And because this was during COVID time, I thought it actually might be him at home needing something from me. And he didn't have access to my phone number or the records. So Glenn and I did not regularly text during COVID, but I did have a text from him once. So it wasn't outside of the realm of possibility.
I was going to say, like, has Glenn ever sent a text message in his life? I wonder.
Well, I think once or twice during those years, but it would have been a short reply to something.
For sure.
So then I get a text after I sent my phone number back to the email address, which, by the way, I didn't check to make sure it was Glenn, asking me to go get gift cards at Target, knew immediately I'd been had.
Oh, yeah, the gift cards is a sure sign there.
So I didn't do it, obviously, but I went back in the email, clicked on the name, and then reported it to JMU, the junk email full email address option. So I actually, though, later, not even at this in the same month, received phone call, text, and email from other people saying that my name was on one of these. So they were just reproducing them. So that was just an email, and I, an educated person, fell for it, which is why we have to go through security training every 90 days when we change our password.
The way you said that, it reminds me of that meme, like, I, an intellectual, fell for this
fell for this scam. But that was back in early days, and so then we got that email from IT saying, if this happens, and that was, so what is new about pig butchering is the added element of cyber slavery, which I will discuss in a minute, but also the level of sophistication in these schemes. So there was a Last Night with John Oliver segment on last month that I sent you, and he was giving examples of some of the messages his staff were receiving that day during production. Did you watch it?
Yeah, I did. And like I said, I had no idea that this was called pig butchering, but I have gotten these before. But like, it's basically the scam where they initiate contact with you by like texting you.
Yes. And I never get full sentences. It's always like, hey, or hi, which immediately I block. But my favorite on the show was, is this Dr. John? I'm Emily. Is my horse recovering well?
the horse one was awesome. I mean, I've gotten messages like, hey, are we still on for lunch today? Is this Linda?
They do ask a specific question, typically. Like, that's another level of sophistication. They know better than to just send a hey or hi.
Yeah, the best one that I got said, like, it was just random, and it said, this is my new number. Delete the old one and save this for my new number.
Yes, okay. So some of these do come via text, but also they use social media, including LinkedIn, which I was surprised by. But obviously Instagram and Facebook, places where you might actually respond to a stranger who was messaging you.
Yeah. And I mean, social media is understandable, but it really threw me off the first text message I got. It's like so annoying. Now they're texting us. Like in the past, it's been landline, email, social media. The last vestige of safety was like text messages. And now they're violating that too.
Well, I'm having to block stuff all the time because my information is on the dark web, which is a whole other story. Yeah. But so anyway, they also research the target so they can pretend to have something in common with you, like being from the same town in China.
Right.
So they use dating apps, making attractive profiles that look like you're having a very glamorous life and you have a lot of money to interact with their potential targets. Love bombing is common, where you have quick over the top displays of affection, saying I love you after only talking to a person for a couple of weeks.
Exactly. Like the love bomb, my favorite bit from the John Oliver was like the text message. Like, you know, she's the scammer sent like this picture of this sexy woman, and it was like, wow, we boner alert. Like the guy was writing back to that. So, but that's the one that I got recently. So the one that said, you know, this is my new number. Delete my old one and save this one. You know, I wrote back and it's like, who dis? And then they immediately sent back this picture of this like sexy, voluptuous Asian lady.
Okay. Yeah. So that, that's definitely what they do. So that example that he was using is how his staff and people were responding to them and kind of mess with them sometimes. And we're going to talk in a little bit about why that's not a great idea. So did you feel guilty after reading through this?
Yes and no. Mixed, but we'll talk about that soon.
So the approach combines some time-tested elements of fraud, such as gaining trust in the manner of like a Ponzi scheme, by making it easy for marks to extract cash at first, with elements unique to the internet era. It relies on the effectiveness of relationships nurtured on social media and the ease with which currencies can be moved electronically, especially with cryptocurrency. So there are steps to pig butchering, according to a ProPublica report that interviewed dozens of victims and read chat transcripts. First, you obviously create a fake identity. Mm-hmm. You initiate contact. You win the trust of the target. Yeah. And then sign them up. So the key is you're not actually making a direct request for money. You're getting them to put real money in a fake account, and you're just kind of assisting mm-hmm. them. But then you have to prove that it's legitimate, because a lot of people are suspicious. There was one case where they actually allowed the victim mm-hmm. to withdraw $30,000. Mm-hmm. This was a Canadian victim. Mm-hmm. And then that person, because obviously it's real, if that person was allowed to withdraw some mm-hmm. of the cash they put in when they got suspicious, and they put 400,000 more in.
Yeah. I mean that, yeah, that's tricky. That's sophisticated. Yeah. That's not like, please, you know, send me $1,000 so I can smuggle these diamonds to you across the border. It's like, my gosh, I've been making so much money off of this investment app.
Yes.
And you know, and then
I can help
like, you. Oh, what is you like, you used to just say like, oh, what is it? That sounds cool. And then, you go and download this app and send them all your money.
After you prove that it's legitimate, mm-hmm. then you can manipulate them into investing more. Eventually, you cut them off when they try to withdraw, mm-hmm. right? So that's the problem. Mm-hmm.
So the sophistication mm-hmm. and the fact that they're contacting us through text message, those are the different aspects of this. So when did this start, or how did this start?
Yeah, so pig butchering, trying to say this like a lot of times is really, it's really difficult. Mm-hmm. It began in Southeast Asia in 2020. What happened that was significant in 2020?
Pandemic. We're just sneaking a little of our spring allergy coughs as part of the show there.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. So the pandemic had a drastic impact on illicit activities across the region in Southeast Asia. Public health measures closed casinos in many countries. And in response, casino operators moved operations to less regulated spaces, including conflict-affected border areas and special economic zones. Mm. They increasingly also used online space. Chinese gangsters decided to turn these casinos into a base of operations for these online scams. So what's new is this added element also of cyber slavery, which I'll discuss in a minute, but also, as you mentioned, the level of sophistication in these schemes. Mm-hmm. So these are easier for educated people to fall for, and they never make, like I said, a direct ask for money, unlike previous scams. They hook you with technological sophistication by creating fake trading apps, which are available for download on the Google and Apple stores. MetaTrader was the primary one. Mm-hmm. And they have, of course, good ratings. So
yeah,
it's
they make all of their slaves go in and give them 5-star ratings.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they do. Mm-hmm. But also they use that as proof it's legitimate. Oh, look, it's in the Apple store, right? Yeah. It wouldn't be fake if it was in the Apple store. They present you with an opportunity, for example, to trade or invest in crypto. And, you know, people may not be familiar with crypto or trading platforms mm-hmm. that they're using, so they look legitimate. And nobody really understands how crypto works anyway. But people know that others have made money on it, so it does seem legitimate.
Get rich quick.
Yes, you don't know anything about crypto and you know there is some scamminess to it, you also know people have made money on it, so these folks offer to give you tips, and it's on a legitimate-looking application. Mm-hmm. One man was adamant, so he got this far, and he was like, no, I'm not giving you money, this sounds like a scam. You know, since he knew it was a scam, and so he said, no, you get to establish your own account and I'm going to guide you through the process. And that's exactly what happened. You have an account and it showed pictures of what it looks like on these trading platforms, and they look very legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
So no red flags, but it's not only the apps. They create tools that simulate fake results. So you show your account shows you getting all of this money. So these are very complex and well-rehearsed. One victim even spoke with a legal firm before investing because they were so suspicious and there were no red flags. Mm. So that's how legitimate and sophisticated they are.
Yeah.
They even know like the common ways that people detect scams, and they find ways around them. So for example, on all of these fake dating profiles, they take their own new pictures so you can't do a reverse image search and see it's fake.
Mm-hmm.
The scammers themselves are given a guide on how to talk to you day by day and exploit emotion, since that's what ultimately makes you successful.
Yeah. So this wasn't a pig butchering scam, but you're talking about kind of like, you know, taking your own pictures and sophistication. My mom recently fell victim to a scam.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I mean, So the thing was, she wasn't contacted. She was having trouble with her phone.
Oh, no.
And so she tried to Google, like, Apple support and find a number to call.
Oh, no.
And somehow she found a fake
Apple number
yeah. on Google and called. So she was the one that called them.
Yeah.
And
oh, my goodness.
They had her on the phone for, like, hours, literally. And she and my dad were, like, driving around the whole Wise County, like, cleaned out every Family Dollar of Apple gift cards.
You were kidding. And,
yeah, like, literally.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, they
goodness.
Kept saying, you know, we need this Apple gift card to fix your phone. We can fix it. We see what's wrong.
Oh,
we see the
goodness.
Problem. So, and mom, and, like, afterwards she said, you know, I should have known better when they asked
right.
for gift cards. But I called them.
Yeah.
And, you know, they kept saying they could fix my phone. And she said they were, like, super aggressive, like, do not get off
yes.
the phone with me. She's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
let me just hang up, I'll call you back, you know. And they would just, like, would not let her off the phone. And I think it was like 6 or 8 hours that she was on the phone with them, like, driving all over the place.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the problem is that you feel stupid after something like
yep.
that happens to you.
Mm-hmm.
You're embarrassed. But, you know, like, these are really sophisticated scams. Even that, she called
mm-hmm.
them. So kind of like the usual ways that you might detect
yeah.
a scam don't seem to be present in
right.
this case. I'm so sorry that happened to her. We're sorry, Linda.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, this
has been like over a year ago, so
yeah.
it wasn't like super recently. But
yeah, but if this episode
yeah.
had come out first, maybe it would have been on her mind, and maybe she would have listened to it,
mm-hmm.
and then she would know. So yeah, so they are able to find ways around that,
mm-hmm.
and they're given guides. Money tied up on the platform. When you go to withdraw it, obviously
mm-hmm.
it's not that it, like there's nothing
yeah.
there. Or what happens is that they add a hefty tax bill. That was really common also. So one victim gave $390,000 already, and then they tried to squeeze like another $300,000
mm-hmm.
out of them. So that was common that they'll when you go to try to withdraw the money, it's not there, and then you get a tax bill. They'll
mm-hmm.
say, if you pay this tax, you get the money,
yeah.
you know, and that kind of thing.
Which then makes you think like, well, I'm not going to pay this tax, so I'll just keep putting money. You know, it's almost
yeah.
like a trick to keep you
yes.
keep you giving money.
Yeah, yeah, that's what... They're now, that's part of
mm-hmm.
the steps, is they're now using your desperation to take advantage,
mm-hmm.
and that's one of the steps.
Yeah.
So in a video, victims reportedly lost, and these were all in the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
$2.5 million, $300,000, mm-hmm. $350,000, and the estimates are in the U.S. alone, these scams make more than $3 billion, and they believe that to be a conservative
mm-hmm.
estimate, since most won't report due to like being embarrassed and the stigma.
Yeah, that's awful.
In February of 2024, one victim was a bank CEO in Kansas, and the cryptocurrency scheme brought down the entire bank.
Oh my gosh.
He embezzled $50 million, causing the bank to fail, and that is how advanced these scams are compared to previous ones.
Wow.
Like everyone said, if they were in his shoes, like
mm-hmm.
there was a little news clip about it, they would have done the same thing because everything seemed to be legitimate. So
mm-hmm.
the embezzlement wasn't purposeful. He was being
mm-hmm.
schemed.
Yeah.
But it caused the bank to fail.
Mm.
Scammers report that the pig butchering romance scams, in those, 70 to 80% of the people fall for fake love. Isn't that just sad?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, for sure. Like you... Yeah, making people fall in love with you. So anyway, who are these dirt bags that are making these poor lonely people fall in love with them to clean out their entire life savings?
Yeah, well, it turns out we might be angry at the wrong people.
Overly
so
harsh.
So
yeah.
I have a mm-hmm. friend who posts screenshots to Instagram every time she engages in one of these conversations with a scammer, and she does it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is like a hobby of hers.
Yeah.
But as John Oliver also noted, the scammers are likely victims themselves.
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
yeah.
sometimes I do the same thing. I've sent you like screenshots
yeah.
before. The one I mentioned above of like,
yeah.
you know, this is my new number, save the old one. Like
yeah.
after she sent
Who dis?
Me, yeah. after she sent me the pic, I started
yeah.
saying things like, I've been looking for you. I've been trying to get in contact with you. You owe me child support. How dare you walk out on our kids together?
Yes, like, you're worse than her,
yeah.
actually, my friend.
Yeah, I was like, you disappeared on me. You broke
my
heart. You destroyed our family. You owe me money. And when I started asking her for money
yeah.
or them for money, that's when she said, well, I think I got the wrong number. She said, I hope I didn't bother you. And I was like, you definitely did.
Yeah. Well, and it probably wasn't even a she, because it's mostly men who fall victim to this. So,
but a preview for next time, we're going to talk about digilantes next time.
Yes.
And this idea of scam baiting, which is bigger than this, but this is an example of that, is something that's like digital vigilantes do, where you toy with scammers. So,
good.
So tune in next time to learn more about this.
Stay tuned. Yeah. So ProPublica and a UN human rights report have reported on the extent to which cyber slavery or human trafficking is fueling these scams. So keep in mind, human trafficking is, being forced or by threat of force to do something involving typically labor or sex trafficking. Those are the two most common. So it's not always force, right? You can just be lured somewhere for the pretenses of a job, and then they take your documents and you're no longer able to leave.
Yeah, you're trapped.
So one Indian scammer who flew to Thailand for an IT job was tricked into crossing the border into Myanmar, and a Chinese gangster then threatened him. But he was talking also about the level of sophistication. He completed four legitimate online interviews for this job. So it was a lot of work to go through for this to end up being a scam, because it seemed so legitimate.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
And then you're applying for a job and you basically get kidnapped and forced into
labor. They said is most of these victims have actual degrees. So these are not like lowly educated, poor people who are willing to just do something like this for a buck because they need the money. So he was forced to work 16 hours a day on social media, targeting Americans with a fake profile. And the scammers are confined to the scam compound, which is these casinos and other places. And their screens are monitored to make sure they're working. So one trafficked victim actually emailed the Chinese embassy on his second day in captivity, once he realized, like, they're not letting me go and this is a complete fraud. And then they found out. And so the organized crime group just bribed the authorities. So once you cross the border, right, into a nation or state with different level of security and weak state and that kind of thing, conditions in these scam compounds are also horrid. Victims are consistently beaten.
Yeah, I mean, on that John Oliver clip, there were, videos of, like, these scammers being, like, handcuffed and just, like,
tortured.
Yeah, I mean, these gangsters were, like, beating the far out of them.
Yeah,
For non-native Appalachian speakers, far.
That's
the thing that burns. You use a far extinguisher to put out far. Yeah. But they, I mean, beat the far out of it. Like, it was bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And one victim who got away, he collects messages now from hundreds of Chinese citizens that record these beatings. And also, these victims are sold between operations. It's horrific.
So what can we do about it?
Well, so
nothing. Be sad.
Yeah, we can be sad. No. Actually, this is one of those situations where awareness does help. We'll get to that in just a second. But keep in mind that these are very lucrative for these organized crime groups and countries. I mean, think about the amount of money we were talking about just from the four Americans that got scammed. Cambodia itself, like, that country brings in half the country's whole GDP through these scams.
Yikes.
I mean, the level, you know, like, the amount of money that we're talking about here is insane. So there are efforts to bust these compounds and rescue victims. Just last month, hundreds of people were rescued from a center north of Manila in the Philippines, where they were, like, forced to engage in love scams. And there were 383 Filipinos, 202 Chinese, and 73 other foreign nationals. So it's not just one particular, you know, nation, ethnicity, et cetera, getting caught up in these. They're getting their victims from everywhere. Estimates in Cambodia and Thailand are that there are over 100,000 of these individuals being held to work these scams.
Oh my gosh.
So in this case, it was a tip from a Vietnamese man who escaped that led to this place. It was masquerading as an online gambling firm, which was common. And he was lucky, because most who try to escape are caught. You know, victims are beaten, as I said. And this man, the one who got away and reported it, had signs of torture, including scars and marks from electrocution.
Yeah.
So governments across Asia, from Indonesia to Taiwan, have expressed alarm at the rise in these scam centers. And foreign embassies in Cambodia and Thailand have issued warnings to their citizens to beware of being lured into scam centers at the promise of job and perks, because that's how they get them there. China issued public rewards for warlords who were running them across the border to Myanmar. And these centers are being run by Chinese mafia families, and they are targeting Chinese nationals. So many of those arrested have been handed back to China in recent months. And then, you know, once that happens, they disappear. Yeah. So one scammer who actually did it willingly, you know, because most of these are victims, but there are some who choose to do it, right?
Yeah.
So even this person said the only way to manage scammers is through fear by hiring thugs to do it.
Yeah.
So it's commonly understood that in order to have the number of people that you need to perform these scams, you've got to basically steal them and kidnap them and force them into
them
it.
Yeah. Awful. But so we don't want to be pigs getting butchered on the other end of the line. Bad for them, bad for us.
Yes.
What can we do to protect ourselves?
So again, these are so lucrative that having fewer people fall for it and bringing about awareness is generally useful here in ways that it may not be for other types of, you know, situations that we talk about.
Yeah, raising awareness is oftentimes pointless, but in this case, it's not.
Yeah, all activists say, let's raise awareness, but then what do you do after that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So first, let's stop blaming the pigs and the scammers, right? So let's stop blaming the people who fall for them or, you know, like treating them negatively, you know, stigmatizing them, humiliating them, because we need to bring this into the light, but also the scammers who tend to be victims. So during COVID especially, remember, is when all of this ramped up, right? And so people were isolated and lonely. And so maybe there were people who were more likely to engage with strangers online. And don't be mean to them when they message you because they might be trafficked victims.
Well, I mean, I can imagine, you know, it's like humiliating enough admitting that you've fallen for like a scam, that somebody has tricked you out of money. But particularly if you are one of those lonely people through kind of like a romance scam, I can imagine just how like embarrassing and how, how awful that would make you feel.
Oh, I was pretty embarrassed about just getting the email
from,
like
from
just
Glenn.
Responding. I was embarrassed about just responding.
Yeah,
I should have known better.
Yeah, imagine if you, it was, you know, like weeks long communication where you thought you were, you had found like your true soulmate.
Yeah. In the John Oliver clip, there was a dad and daughter. It was the daughter who got the dad involved and they lost everything.
Yeah.
It's like, and they were crying. It's like so sad. Like, let's not blame people.
Yeah. And also, I'll try my best to be nice to these human trafficking victims in the future, even though it's so super annoying. Scammers.
Please do.
But yes, I will try to pledge to be nice.
So some other advice is what we get in our security awareness training, where we have to change our password every 90 days, which is like basically don't talk to strangers online. But treat online interactions as if they were face-to-face.
Yeah.
The likelihood of you investing on via this trading app is less likely if a scammer were presenting this to you in person, right?
Right.
Like it just wouldn't work that way. So any stranger that initiates contact with you should be treated with a healthy skepticism.
For sure.
Remember, these people aren't targeting our grandmothers, who are inexperienced with technology and smartphones. People give them hundreds of thousands of dollars because the tech is so sophisticated that it looks completely legitimate. So it's also a different victim pool that, you know, and so we are talking to probably people who might, or, you know, our listeners. We do have some, a listener, one listener in Indonesia.
Nice.
So
well,
I'm telling that person, this is what's going on in Southeast Asia. So don't apply for a job and go anywhere.
That's what I was going to say. Be very careful about the job interviews you go on.
For sure,
And everybody beware. Don't trust anything online, especially somebody asking for money.
Yes.
Or talking about money.
Yes.
And now you know what pig butchering is.
Yes.
Such an amazing name.
It is.
And a great episode title.
Yeah.
So you got anything else?
I do not.
About pig butchering?
Nope.
All right. That means then that it's our minute to spin it, where we both give our takeaway from today's episode. So in just a minute, Tommy, what is your spin?
Mine is very simple. Don't talk to strangers who randomly message you. But if you do, definitely don't let them help you invest some money.
No.
I mean, it's pretty simple.
Don't do that.
Don't do it. Ben, what's your spin?
Okay, so this time I did another limerick.
Okay.
So I've only done one before, our serial murder episode.
Right. Yeah, yeah,
the errata phonophile limerick.
Yeah.
But anyway, I put another little limerick together. So here it goes. Pig butchering isn't just about delicious bacon and ham. It uses romance and crypto to get you to fall for a scam.
I like that. It's so good.
Don't be mean when your phone randomly goes ding, because it might be victims of human trafficking. But still be very wary of internet strangers, madam. Oh, gosh, I've choked her to death. gets you a little. Anyway, so that's my limerick. I thought about using Coal Miner's Daughter for my spin Loretta Lynn grew up in Butcher Holler.
Oh, yeah.
And she talks about getting shoes from a catalog, from Monty Ray's, from selling a hog. Right. But anyway, I went with my limerick. Anyway, so those random text messages that you're getting are scams. Don't answer.
Don't answer.
There's the little button right underneath that when you get one that says delete and report. Click that. And I'm definitely not going to be messing with scammers anymore, as hard as it might be. To resist, I'm going to try to be nice to human trafficking victims and have empathy for people, even if they are trying to prey on us, but forcibly. But we definitely need to be concerned about human trafficking victims. And by not falling prey to these scams, we can keep them from being profitable.
Yes.
We can eliminate the need to force victims into slavery to try to scam all of us first world residents just looking to make a quick buck from crypto, bro.
We are a community-driven podcast sponsored by the Gandhi Center, produced by JMU Libraries' very own Jenna Polk and Zach Williams. We've just passed our one-year anniversary and are still going strong.
Woohoo!
Check out our website linked in show notes to see how you can support our educational programming.